No? Genesis chapter 24. This is the story, as you've just read. This is the story of Abraham sending his servant on a mission to obtain a bride for his only son, Isaac. This is a picture of how God sends his preachers and his Holy Spirit to find a bride for Christ, to find the church. As I said, our Lord said in the scriptures that they are they which testify of me. When Christ was talking about the scriptures, he was talking about the Old Testament. And he said, they are they which testify of me. And one time he was talking to some disciples on as they were walking on the road. And it says, beginning in the books of Moses, and then the prophets, and in the Psalms, he expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. Now that's the whole Old Testament. Books of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. And Christ said, they are they which testify of me. It's all written of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a story of Abraham sending his servant, but the reason God recorded this was to show us how he sends his servants, how he sends his preachers, how he sends his Holy Spirit to find his bride. And it's no shot in the dark, because it says here, he shall find a bride among his people. Abraham told his servant, he said, go to the land of my fathers and get a bride for Isaac. The servant said, well, just suppose she's not willing to go. Suppose she's not willing. Abraham knew more than the servant did. Abraham said, God will take care of that. You just go. You go and you tell your story. You tell the girl you come to, you tell her about Isaac. You stand back and you watch. Is that it? The servant said. Is that all you want me to do? Yes. Go tell her about Isaac. So the servant went. Look at verses 10 through 12. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. All the goods of his master, a portion of the goods, were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down, or like camels did back then, they would lie down and rest after a long journey. They were by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So the servant went, and he was feeling his own inability. He's an old man, the eldest servant, feeling his inability, feeling the heavy responsibility of the mission he was called upon to do, the burden of his master's word. He was a faithful servant, and he didn't want to do anything contrary to what his master told him to do. He wanted to do things exactly like his master told him to do, say things just like his master told him to say, and he was feeling the heavy burden of the word of his master. And he started, what did he do? First thing he did is he started praying. Look at verse 12. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, I call upon thee, send me good speed this day. Send me good speed this day. And I pray the same thing right now. Lord, send me good speed this day. Send the gospel forth in clear clarity this morning. The good news, let it go forth this morning. Send me good speed. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Lord, make your name known. Glorify yourself. Behold, verse 13, I stand here by the well of water. And the daughters of the men of the city have come out to draw water. You know what the well of water is that you're standing next to right now? It's the water of life. I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men, the sons of men have come here, and they've all got a copy in their hand. Lord, I pray thee, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher. Let down your pitcher. I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. I'll give your camels drink also. Let that be the one you've appointed for your servant Isaac. Oh, some of you see the picture there, don't you? Huh? Servant of God, the preacher of the gospel, he has this word of life in his hand, and he goes forth bearing this precious seed, this word, this water of life, and people come out to hear it, and he feels his utter insufficiency. This story is just so beautiful. This story is so glorious, so grand, speaks so clearly of Christ. I'm not going to bring it forth like it ought to be brought. I'm not going to preach it like it ought to be preached. But Lord, send me good speed this morning. Let there be a damsel here this morning, or a young man, whom you've appointed for your son, Jesus Christ. Let them say, here's a pitcher, fill it. Here's my heart, fill it. Well, this is the mission of God's servant, the preacher. And like Abraham, Abraham told the servant to go talk about Isaac. And the preacher of the gospel is to come and he's to declare his master. This man, all he did was talk about Abraham and Isaac, the father and the son. And the preacher of the gospel is sent to declare and to exalt his God. Not to brag on men, but to brag on his God and to brag on God's Son. To make Christ known, to preach the Son, to declare who God is. Look down at verse 35. Abraham, when talking about his master, or Abraham's servant, talking about his master, this is what he said about his master to this family. He said, the Lord, verse 35, the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He's great. Oh, my. Let me tell you about my God. You've heard some preachers out there talk about their God, I'm sure. Some, maybe a visitor in here this morning, have been to certain places where preachers have talked about their God, and they've talked about a God who has no hands but yours, no feet but yours. A God who wants to do things and can't, unless you let Him. A God who loves you so much that you might end up in hell anyway. Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about the God of the Bible. He's got hands, and they ain't yours. They're His own hands, the very ones He made the universe with. The very ones that we are in, not vice versa. My God is great. My God is God. He's great. And my God does whatsoever He will. He doesn't wait to see what man's going to do. He acts first. And man does what he wills. That's my God. He's great. He's God. He ain't no whip that I can whip. He's God. And I'm in His hands. You're in His hand. He's great. God is great. Look at verse 35. Read on. Abraham's servant says, God has given my master flocks and herds. My God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, the psalm says. He's got silver and gold. My God owns all the gold and silver in all the mines. And men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Everything and everyone does my God's bidding. Everything serves the God of the universe. My God's great. He's great. He's the greatest. He's God. And then Abraham's servant was sent to declare the son. Not only declare his master, but to declare his master's son. Look at verse 36. And so the servant started talking about the son. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Oh, a miraculous birth. A miraculous birth. It had never been heard of before. A woman 100 years old nearly, giving birth. Never been heard of before. But she did. He's a miracle boy. A glorious son. And unto him, unto my master's son, hath my master given all that he has. He's put all things into the hands of his son. My son, his son is the heir of all things. And let me tell you about my God's son. He has one. One only begotten, well-beloved son. And he was born, the scripture says, miraculously. Born of a virgin. Never been heard of before. But he was. Because he was born without sin. Didn't have the seed of sin in him. Born of a virgin. And my master, my God, hath given all things into the hands of this one. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is heir of all things. He has been given all authority in heaven and earth. God Almighty has vested all power and all authority and all judgment, the keys of hell and death, everything, salvation, is in God's Son. He's got it all. He's the heir of all things. He's the heir. Now, this servant, he didn't spend his time talking about the promised land, did he? He didn't talk about, you see, Abraham was living and Isaac were living in the promised land, weren't they? That's where they were living, the promised land, fair Canaan. He didn't spend his time talking about Israel. It wasn't named that yet. But he didn't talk about the promised land. He talked about Abraham. He talked about Isaac. He talked about his master and talked about his son. Talked about the Father and talked about the Son. And true preachers of the gospel don't spend their time talking about Israel. They don't spend their time talking about heaven. They don't spend their time talking about rewards. They don't spend their time talking about the church. They don't spend their time talking about the denomination. They talk about the Father and the Son. They declare their master. And their master's cause, what's that? To glorify his son. They declare the son. Abraham said unto his servant, he said, you tell them about my son. You go talk about Isaac. You talk about Isaac, his beauty, his glory, his authority. I want to hear you talk about Isaac. That's what I like to talk about. That's what his mother likes to talk about. Isaac. I want to hear you talk about Isaac. Isaac, Isaac, Isaac. You want her to fall in love with Isaac. That's why you're going. You're going to talk to a woman and you want her to fall in love with Isaac. Not his lands, not his riches, but with him. So you talk about him. And that's what the preacher of the gospel is sent to do, the servant of God. He's sent to talk about Christ. God says, I want to hear about my son. That's who I like to talk about, God says. That's who these angels are talking about right now. That's who the cherubs and the seraphs and all the people, the elders that stand before his throne and kneel before his throne throughout heaven are talking about and will talk about through eternity, about him. So what's the preacher of the gospel going to talk about? Jerusalem? Politics? Social issues of the day? Going to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to talk about. That's who he's going to talk about. That's the mission of the servant. Well, suppose she won't come. Look at verse 5. Back to verse 5. The servant said, suppose this woman won't come. All you want me to do is just talk about Isaac? What if she's not willing? Huh? Give me something else to do. Send a quartet with me. Give me some sign or miracle, wonder, something to perform, something to do, some entertainment. Give me something. You just want me to talk about Isaac? What about this? Bring Isaac back. He says, don't you dare. Oh, no. Don't you dare. He said, verse 6, beware that you don't bring my son thither again. He's not to go down there again to the land of the heathen. He went once. He ain't going back again. No, he's exalted. You don't bring him down again. He's exalted. He's going to sit right where he's at and everybody's going to come to him. They're going to come to him. Suppose she's not willing, though. What? Give me something to do. Now, Abraham had already told him, verse 4. Verse 4, Abraham said, thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and you take a wife. Didn't sound like there's any doubt about it. Thou shalt go to my people, and thou shalt take a wife. But. Psalm 110. What are we supposed to do to find God's sheep? God's people. Disciples of Christ. Believer. What are we supposed to do? Entertain? Show signs and wonders and miracles? Do tricks and gimmicks. What about tricks and gimmicks? We'll put $10 bills on the seat. We'll get people in. That way we can get them saved, you know. Preach the gospel, get them in. Then we can preach the gospel and get them saved. Beware. You're bringing God down. Well, show us a sign, Lord. No, he's not going to show any signs. Christ said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given. But the sign of what? The prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's talking about the gospel. There's only one thing that the servant of God is sent to do, and that is preach Christ, preach the gospel. And God said, stand back, just preach the gospel. My people shall be made willing in the day of my power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be made willing to do what? To follow Christ. In the day of my power, of his power. What's God's power? Signs and wonders? No. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God says, you preach the gospel, my sheep will hear my voice and they'll follow me. Is that it? No gospel quartet? Preach. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching
to save them that believe.
Preach. The world doesn't want to hear preaching anymore. They want to be entertained. Doesn't matter.
Preach the word in season or out of season. Whether it's popular or not, preach it. My sheep are going to hear. My bride, Isaac's bride, is going to hear. And she's going to marry him. I'm going to have a people. And you know what? Like Abraham said, go to my people. God said concerning Christ, call his name Jesus.
Because he's going to save all people?
No.
Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. God has an elect, appointed bride, people, that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. Who are they?
I don't know.
I'm just preaching. Whoever believes, that's them. That's them. God knows. Somebody said to Spurgeon one time, he said, well, if I only believed that just the elect were saved, he said, I just preached to the elect. Spurgeon said, well, if you put an E on their heads, I would too. But he said, until then, I don't know who they are. So I'm going to preach to all of them. And some of them are going to butt, like goats. They butt. They'll butt you. But then their sheep's going to hear it and say, hey. I like that. Well, look at verse 7. Abraham said, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, he spake unto me and swear unto me, who God who can't lie. He said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Abraham's talking to his servant here. He says, servant, God's going to send his angel before you. And thou shalt take a wife. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son. Somebody's going to hear you. Preach. Like he said to Ezekiel. Ezekiel's standing at the graveyard. Franklin County Memorial Park. Standing there. And the Lord asked him, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel thought, no way. By me just preaching to them? No way. You know, Lord.
God said, watch.
Preach.
There's some people in here who are dead and dry as an old bone. Particularly teenagers. Who can't wait to get out of here. And this sermon's just as dead and as dry as them as an old dog's bone. And they'd rather be chewing on one. And they're chewing chomping at the bit. I know what that means now, Stan. Chomping at the bit. Wanting to get out. Can these bones live? And I look in the faces of them. About like my preacher looked in my face when I was about 18. And I think, can that bone live? Can that boy live? Is that boy ever going to be interested in the gospel? Is that girl ever going to be interested in the gospel? Is that woman ever going to be interested in the gospel? Is that man ever going to be interested in something in the gospel? Lord, you know. Preach! Not again, preacher. Not the same old thing. Same old thing.
The Lord God said, and he swore to me, he said he's going to send his Holy Spirit and he's going to take a wife. Going to take a wife. Nothing needed else. Nothing else? Nothing else. Preach. Just talk about Isaac. Talk about, all right. That's what I'll do. Verse 8. He said to the servant, for his sake, he said, now, the woman won't follow you. He knew. He already said she was. But if you are worried about her not following you, you just do what I said and you come on home, shake the dust off your clothes, you've done what I told you to do. Don't worry about it. Leave the results up to God.
You preach, you plant, you water, God's going to have to give the increase.
Don't do a thing to get them to come in. Don't beg them, don't woo them, don't
Bible them, you don't want them. You want the ones God
brings.
You don't want somebody you can save. There'll be nothing but trouble to you. You want the ones God saved. And then you can't drive them off with a stick.
Don't use gimmicks. Don't use carnal reasoning. Don't say, Rebecca, it stands to reason. Now, Isaac is the promised seed and he needs a bride. And just think what you could do for Isaac. He needs good women like you while you're good. Don't do that. Just preach Isaac. Well, verse 12, the servant prayed, Lord, give me good speed. And that's what I pray this morning. Lord, send the gospel forth. Break a hard heart this morning. Verse 14, Lord, may one of the damsels in here be one you've appointed for your servant. Send forth your spirit. Declare the good news. Glorify your name. And like I said, the servant, he knew, he wasn't, God, you know, God's preachers, they said that history has it that Elijah was a little short, bald-headed man. And Paul, the apostle, was too. I'm in good company, aren't I? I was ordained to this position. Paul had an eye problem. Not much to look at. Wasn't it Elijah was Elisha? Yeah, I forget which one. A bunch of kids started making fun of him, calling him bald, and he called down bears and ate them. Wish I could do that. But the fact is, the servant of God is not much to look at.
He doesn't want them looking at him.
I believe God does that on purpose. One of the ladies said that to me. You're going bald, so you won't have so much pride. I thought about telling her, I still got my pride. But no, that's good reasoning, isn't it? Huh? The preacher, you see them today, boy, they look good now. They all look like, I can spot them a mile away, these false ones. They all got the same hairdo. And a buddy there, you can spot him a mile away, can't you? But yet the preacher of the gospel doesn't want men looking at him or following him. Christ said, let a man come in his own name, and him you will receive. And they do, don't they? Men are obviously in this thing for their own name, their own honor, their own glory. They got their name all over the place. Any man who's in this for the name of God wouldn't let his name be put out like that.
And they're in it for money. It's so obvious, isn't it? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, Paul said. And let a man come in his own name, and him you will receive. Sadly, men and women by the thousands will follow these hucksters and give their every penny to them. Let a man come just declaring who God is. And they're rejecting thumbs down. God's sheep won't. They'll say he's beautiful. His feet are. They'll say his feet are beautiful. That's the only beautiful part he needs. Beautiful feet. Because how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good joy. Well, he doesn't want them. The servant didn't want Rebecca falling in love with him, did she? What if Rebecca? What if he'd have been a young, dashing, good-looking fellow, and Rebecca fell in love with him? Huh? Rebecca? He wanted her to fall in love with Isaac. Isaac was the one. He's the son. He's the altogether lovely one. This fellow was old. He was ugly, and I'm sure he thought, "How am I going to attract a young woman to come with me to a place she's never been, never seen, and marry a man she's never seen?" Me. He knew he couldn't. That's the reason he called on the Lord. Lord, help. Help me. He was a poor servant. He was poor. He was just a servant. He couldn't tell the riches of his master. He tried, didn't he? Oh, my master, he's great. How great is he? He's great. How great? Great! Well, Harper, you're going to have to see for yourself. I can't, a half wouldn't be told. If I told you how great Abraham was, a half wouldn't be told. Well, how much riches does he have? He had in his pockets. He's got, here's an earring. How rich is it? Here's an earring. Standing at vaults full of earrings. A half wouldn't have been told. He tried, didn't he? He tried. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not of preachers. Not of preaching. It's of God's Holy Spirit. Salvation's of the Lord. God purposes it like Abraham did. Abraham purposed to have a bride. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ who purchased it. He shed his blood to purchase his church, to buy them, to actually pay for their sin. He lived a life that was necessary that they live for God to accept them as holy. Not our works, not our life, not our righteous living, not our morality, Jesus Christ only. Christ purchased it by his blood. The soul that sins must die. He died for his people, and everyone he died for will be saved. Bought, sins paid for. All of them. And salvation is of the Lord, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who must apply this gospel. He must make the Son known. The Holy Spirit must give repentance. I can show our kids a film on hell. It'll scare them to death, but it won't make them repent in the heart of their sin. It'll make them scared of hell, but it won't make them repent of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can preach until I'm blue in the face, and it won't give faith. Faith's the gift of God. God must give it, the Holy Spirit. You won't see your need of Christ until the Holy Spirit shows you your need of Christ, makes you needy and shows you Christ is all. He must break the heart. He must change the mind. He must change the heart. He must bring a person to Christ. He must bring them to love Christ. He must make them follow Christ. The Lord, the shepherd of the sheep, maketh us to lie down. He maketh us. Well, Isaac, or the son. All was run with water. When the John. So many people were brought and saved and blessed around water. A well of water. Servant of God drinking a little water, and them drinking water. All drinking water. Well, he meets Rebecca at the well, and God revealed to this man that this is Isaac's bride. And he said, certain evidences. She's going to show certain evidences. Look at verse 27. And after she did, remember she said, here, take this water, and here, let me give your camel something to drink too. That was the sign. You see, God had made her willing. And verse 27, he started thanking God, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I was in the way. the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Oh my, you're in God's house, people. Not the Central Baptist Church. Not the Baptist denomination. Wherever the gospel is, that's where God is. Wherever Christ is being exalted, that's where God is. Wherever there are people who are worshiping God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and putting no confidence in the flesh, outward religion, that's where God is. That's where the Holy Spirit is. I'm in the way. I don't want to get in the way. I want you to see Christ this morning. So he went with her. He told her about... Well, he didn't tell her a lot, did he? He just told her... She just heard him, overheard him. And he went to her house. Verse 32 and 3. He went to her house, and a man came into the house, and they ungirded his camels and gave straw and food to eat, water to wash his feet, and the men's feet. And they said, here, let's have a good time. Let's eat something. Why are you here? I've got a message to tell. Well, let's eat first, okay? let's have a big time. Nahor has got us some singers coming in and some dancers, and we got us a 5-piece band coming in, and we're going to have us a spread, and we're going to have us a big time, big party. Let's have a party first. Then we'll get to this preaching in a minute. What did the servant say? No, 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 no. He said, I'm not going to eat. I will not eat until I've told mine heir. Now, we can eat. We can have a good time, all that later. But the most important thing is now that I tell you my message. I go through church bulletins. I go someplace, and I look in their bulletins, and I see all the way down the line how we're going to have postlude, prelude, optilude, tweedle-dee-dude, and so sister so-and-so is going to do this, and brother so-and-so is going to do that, we're going to have the choir going to sing, and children going to give this, and then all the way down to the end, one little sentence, and oh, yeah, by the way, sermon, 15-minute sermon by the pastor. Whatever. We ain't going to do nothing here but preach the gospel. Basically. We'll sing as long as it's gospel singing. I'd have a gospel quartet in here if they'd sing gospel. If they wouldn't look up the sky with all this affected and carrying on, the women wouldn't put this silly smile on their face and make you think how pious they are. If they'd quit that crap. I told myself I was going to quit saying that the other day. Terry, edit that. Where I said crap. Edit that. It is. That's what it is. A show of the flesh. If somebody would get up and sing gospel, we'd have a quartet. Quintuplet, sextet, they'd really sing. We'd have a choir if we could do it from the heart. I know the flesh. And people go away talking about the choir and not the message. They go away talking about that woman singing that song and not about Christ and all His beauty. So we're not going to eat. You say, I wish you would quit so I could eat. Not until I told my message. I got food. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I got water that ain't this. I've drank that a while ago. I'm still thirsty. This is water of life. Christ said, drink of this, you'll never thirst again. Abraham's servant said, I'm determined not to do anything but what I'm told to do. And Paul said it, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 56. Her brother and mother said, well, verse 56. The servant said unto them, verse 56, don't hinder me. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away. If you won't hear this, I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to my master. But I've done what I was sent to do. Don't hinder me. Well, people, it wasn't the family he was called to, was it? It wasn't the family. And a lot of times family is a hindrance to people to hearing the gospel. A lot of times. Well, God sent to find His sheep. And they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it. Look at verse... I love this. I love it. Verse 57. They said, well, call the damsel. He said, that's what I intend to do. That's what God's going to do. That's what God's angel sent me to do. That's what He shall do. Call the damsel. And inquire of her. I didn't come to call you. I didn't come to call a righteous mama and daddy. Come call this child. So they called Rebekah. Verse 58. They called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? The servant said, Rebekah, in my master's house
is a young man. He's the heir of all my master owns. He's Lord over the house. And he's beautiful. He's marvelous. He's so kind. He's so glorious. He's so magnificent. He is so compassionate. He's so good. He's such a fine man. He's a gentle man. He's a man's man. What a man. This man, Isaac. Will you come and marry him? And God's servant says to those who hear the gospel, in my Father's house, I wish I could preach this, is a man. At the right hand of the Majesty on high sits a man. And in him is life eternal. He's the heir of all things. All things are in him. All things consist by him and in him. He's glorious. He's marvelous. He's majestic. He's beautiful. He's kind. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's a man's man. He's a sinner's savior. But he's a man. Will you come and marry this man? Rebecca, you out there, by the way? You come marry this man? You never seen before? What was Rebecca's answer? She didn't say, well, I need no more time to think about it. Maybe tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm just not worthy. I need more assurance. I've got to hear more. What'd she say? In verse 58.
I'll go.
I bet the servant said, will you go marry this man you've never seen before? I can't really describe him to you. He's just too glorious. You're just going to have to meet him for yourself. But will you go and marry him? She said, I'll go. And he thought, I know that, you know, you probably want. What did he say? What? You'll go? You will? Well, good. People, sometimes they hear the gospel, and I hear that they've heard the gospel, and I hear that they're interested, and I say, no, it's not, they won't. Can't be. So her? Him? Yeah. Really? Well, boy, I sure hope so. I'll go. Spirit of God wooed her by showing her the beauty of Isaac. She didn't hesitate. She couldn't wait to go. She couldn't wait to go. Her mom and daddy wanted her to stay a little while. She said, No, I'm going. They probably called her a fool. People said, you're a fool for Isaac's sake, aren't you? Well, yeah. Go marry a man you never seen before? Yeah. Whom have you not seen? I already love him. Verse 61 says, Rebecca arose, and her damsels, they rode upon the camels and followed the man. They arose and left. I will arise. How about you? And go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus Christ, my Savior. Ah, my. He's the Savior to me, my Lord. I've never seen Christ before, but I'm in a hurry to go to him. Keep coming. Verse 63, and I'll quit. Verse 63 and following, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. Isaac went praying. And here came his bride. Oh, would you give me about 45 more minutes, y'all? How that Christ, the intercessor, prayed for his church. And because of his prayer, the effectual fervent of that righteous man, it availed everything, our salvation. Christ said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me. Here she comes. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. Verse 63. And Isaac lifted up his eyes and he saw Rebekah coming. Teresa, he saw her first. He looked on her first. Christ looks upon his people in love and in election first. He sees them and that they're going to come. This is the Father's will, that all which he hath given me, that they see the Son. That all that seeth the Son, he'll raise them up. He saw her first, John. Bless God, verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac. And she lighted off the camel. And it's not like Tim James said, she lit up a cigarette, lighted off the camel. No, she got down off her high horse, you see. She may have thought she was somebody before then. But when she saw Isaac, she bit the dust. And look at what she said. She said, verse 65, unto the servant, what man is this? I've never seen anybody like this. Would you look at that? What man? What a man. Who is it? That's your husband. It's my master. The servant. That's my master. That's my master. Isn't he something? I tried to tell you. She said you didn't do a very good job. He's a lot more handsome than you told me. And it says she covered herself. See that? She covered herself in humility. Feeling her own sin. Oh, what a man. What a man. Verse 67. And it says that Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. Surely this man won't have me, Rebekah thought. Yes, he will. He took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. He loved her. And you know what? He loved her to the end. All the way. All the way. Never quit loving her. Strange woman. Strange woman. It's a strange story to most people. I can't hardly contain myself. It's Christ. It's Christ. Rebecca, you out there? It might be a male, Rebecca. You out there? Got your picture? Take a drink. Do you come with Isaac? You come meet Mary Isaac? Jesus, what a man. What a man. All right, Brother Joe, you've got... What's the number there? 389. We'll sing that song that I quoted. 389. I will arise.